To help deal with the doctor shortage, Kaiser Permanente has officially teamed up with the University of Hawaii John Burns School of Medicine to become a teaching partner. Today, it pledged $800,000 in scholarships for 5 incoming medical students. It's a long road to becoming a doctor in the U.S. You may not know that across the country, thousands of medical students are starting their residency today at hospitals that they were matched up with earlier this spring. This morning, we talked with UH's Director of Graduate Medical Education, Dr. Lee Wenkunseho-Lum, about the efforts to grow our pool of doctors.
We are happy to, you know, report that from the University of Hawaii, of course, we graduated over 70 students this past May, and they all began their residency training across the country today. And about a third of them have stayed here in Hawaii. And so, you know, patients and staff and families will be seeing, you know, a new crop of resident physicians. But we also have fellows. So for us, we have about 80 in total new residents or fellows starting in our different hospitals and health systems. And our programs include programs in family medicine, internal medicine, OBGYN, orthopedics, pathology, pediatrics, psychiatry, surgery, but we also have fellowships in addiction psychiatry, a new one in addiction medicine, which is highly needed, cardiovascular disease or cardiology, and we have fellowships in geriatrics, child and adolescent psychiatry, maternal fetal medicine, which is the high-risk OB, and also complex family planning, as well as neonatology, sports medicine, and surgical critical care. So our fellowships are, you know, and our programs are really designed to help meet the needs for Hawaii and to train physicians, you know, that where hopefully they will return. If they go on for fellowship, they'll return back to Hawaii or, you know, they will stay. So all of our programs do a good job of making sure to select our residents and fellows that really do have a commitment to take care for our diverse patient population and to really help address some of the different health challenges and health disparities that exist in many of our populations.
Now, I know we were talking to a number of hospital administrators, and I think one of them had mentioned that I think we've got a shortage of, it's like 400 doctors a year or something to that effect.
Yeah, actually, it depending on how you slice the data, the number actually ranges in the 500 to 700. Yeah, depending on, it's worse on neighbor islands and worse in certain specialties. But there, yes, overall, there is a shortage. There's a high need for primary care throughout the state, and whether that's internal medicine or family medicine, pediatrics is also a primary care specialty. There's a need for mental health providers. Psychiatrists are really at a huge shortage area in the neighbor islands, and in particular, child psychiatry.
So really, that 400 number is conservative.
Yes. Yep.
And let's talk about the neighbor islands, because, you know, I recall, you know, at one time there hearing from somebody that, gosh, you got to pray that you don't break your arm and end up in the ER on the Big Island, because they didn't have a, you know, orthopedic surgeon there in the ER to be able to handle that. And likely you would be sent over to Honolulu.
Yeah, so luckily that part has been resolved, but it is still a high need area. You know, we know from the physicians workforce studies that our medical school does every year that many of the physicians are getting older. But there are some specialties that actually, so endocrinology, which is kind of the hormones, really, really complex diabetes, thyroid, you know, those would be cared for by an endocrinologist, rheumatologist, which are folks that take care of the very complicated rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or other connective tissue disorder patients, even lung specialists, pulmonologists. They will often fly from Honolulu to the neighbor islands and provide care there, you know, once or twice a month, depending on the need. But increasingly, telehealth is being utilized, which is great. And for some of the, for actually many of the conditions, even for surgery, telemedicine is really a growing opportunity. So for surgery, obviously, you need to, you know, have a surgeon do the actual surgery. But before the visit, things could be planned and, you know, good discussions with the primary care physician on the neighbor island to make sure that everything is optimized and ideal, so that then if the patient does have to be flown to Honolulu for surgery, and usually these would be a much more complicated surgery or, you know, say a surgery with someone has cancer, for example. Those would likely need to be done in Honolulu, or a pediatric surgery would need to be done in Honolulu. But the surgeons are starting and really wanting to do more telemedicine with the neighbor island providers before, and that again helps to optimize the outcomes of the surgery, and then certainly for afterwards follow up, a lot can be done. So whereas 5 years ago, folks would have to really fly to Oahu and stay on Oahu for quite a long time. Now, with the advent of telemedicine, some of those times will be a little bit less.
And what are we doing to encourage more of our young people to get into medicine? Because the time, which it's a long road, to get to be a doctor, and the cost is staggering.
Sure. Sure. So there are what we call pipeline programs, which really start in the elementary schools in some areas, and definitely in the middle schools and the high schools. So the first thing is really to try to encourage children to go into STEM fields, or the science, technology, engineering, and math. So that's collectively called STEM. And so there's a lot of programs done not only by the medical school, but by other partners within the University of Hawaii to really try to improve STEM education, and then in the there are some specific outreach programs that our medical school and medical students do to some of the intermediate schools and some of the high schools. We work with the health academies, which are now increasing in popularity in many of our public schools. And there are numerous opportunities in the summer for students to come to the medical school and get a short, like 1 week or 2 week experience, various different things. Our health system partners offer summer experiences as well for folks that are interested in medicine. And importantly is also the mentoring and the mentoring piece. And so for high school students and even for college students, having great grades is not the only criteria, right? There's a lot of other things that make one competitive for medical school, including do they really have an idea of what the field of medicine is like? Have they had the opportunity to shadow or to work in a hospital or work in a physician's office? Are they community-minded? Are they, collaborators? Do they have that human touch and that human element, which is so very important? Can they think in teams? Things like that. So those experiences are really important to have. And so we do have guidance and mentoring set up for those students that are interested in health careers as well as medicine.
And you are encouraging a lot of the Native Hawaiians.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in fact, there are specific programs for Native Hawaiian students and schools with large populations of Native Hawaiians. But many of our programs actually are targeting schools out in Leeward Oahu as well. And so really many of our populations that have more minority, ethnic minority populations, because we know we have an overall shortage of physicians, but when you look at the breakdown by ethnicity in comparison to Hawaii's population, we definitely do have shortage of Native Hawaiians and Filipino physicians and others, and certainly with our many Asian subpopulations here, many of whom do not speak English as their primary language, then it's also important to, see if we have students that are very interested in medicine and that are also able to speak another language, then that's obviously really great for patients.
I did have the opportunity to speak to one of your recent graduates at the medical school, and she came from the Philippines. Mm. And historically, we have tapped a lot of the medical personnel from the Philippines, whether they're nurses or aides, because they do have a healthcare system, they're in that country, and some of those hospitals are quite good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the care in many of the hospitals are really quite excellent. And so, I mean, we have students who speak one of several, you know, different dialects, which is huge. And while the great majority of residents and fellows are graduates of U.S. medical schools, there are opportunities for very highly qualified folks from international medical schools to apply.
That was Dr. Lee Wenkensejo Lum, a graduate medical education director, as well as professor of family medicine and community health at the University of Hawaii Medical School.